every company in the world.
One of the biggest things has been sort of a viral marketing strategy.
That's about 2%.
The carbon agenda is,
oh, it's a business.
It's going to be very significant indeed.
7 days with Business Cornwall.
Happy New Year and welcome to the first 7 days podcast of 2014. In a few moments, Matthew Clark will be hearing how the stormy weather has been affecting some of Cornwall's businesses. But first, a rundown of the news headlines.
The Eden Project has reported a record loss for the last financial year. Accounts for the year ending March 2013 showed a deficit of £6.3 million compared to a surplus of £136,000 registered in the previous 12 months. The attraction blamed a number of factors for the decline, including the London Olympics, poor weather, and the economic downturn, as visitors' numbers dipped below the 1 million mark to 953,000. Falmouth-based pump manufacturer Watson-Marlow Pumps Group has expanded its business with the acquisition of BioPure Technology Limited in a deal worth £8.5 million. BioPure, based in Portsmouth, specialises in the production of tubing connector systems for biopharmaceutical customers. Beaches in Cornwall have been voted the best in the UK by the largest ever survey of Britain's travel writers. The survey, conducted by the travel website 101 Holidays, asked more than 100 experts to name their favourite places both at home and abroad. In the best UK beach category, Cornwall's beaches won the largest slice of the votes, ahead of Wales and Scotland. And finally, if you fancy getting your hands on a piece of Cornish heritage, then the iconic Jamaica Inn on Bodmin Moor has been put on the market with a guide price of £2 million. Owners John and Wendy Watts are looking to retire after 40 years of running the pub and hotel and have put it up for sale with the Exeter agency Christie & Company.
7 days with Business Cornwall.
The horrendous weather which came to Cornwall during Christmas and immediately after Christmas brought giant waves crashing on beaches such as Cenin, Porth Leven and also Perran Porth. This created problems for businesses, whether they were getting goods around and trying to negotiate flooding, or for places such as the Watering Hole on Perran Porth Beach, where a giant wall of sand was carved out immediately in front of the famous pub. Well, I've been speaking to the owner, Robert Jones.
Yeah, it's obviously taking its toll on the business, mainly because when we get these massive storms, the access bridge, it becomes inaccessible, really. The river misses going under the bridge, so literally you've got to go right around the back of the beach to get access to the Watering Hole, because you've got a river going under the bridge and a river going around it, so that makes things difficult. So only people who know the back access can get here. Obviously, we get a lot of people who want to come and watch the storms, really, so that is good for business, but they can only do it from inside because the weather's been so rough outside. And then when it comes to getting up the, well, I suppose we had about a 12, 15-foot drop in places right outside, they've had to sort of go the long way around to even get in the doors. It became a worry on Monday. We had the massive tide, the big 7.7 tide was on the Saturday, with a big storm, obviously big seas, and a very strong gale force southwesterly wind. But because it was southwesterly, we tend to be a wee bit sheltered by the cliffs on the south side of us and the Chapel Rock right in front of us. If it had been northwest, like it has been this morning, yeah, we would have had a lot more worries. When we've had big problems before, it's always been with a northwest wind. So I was concerned, but not over-worried, until Monday when that storm picked up. And I've never seen such large seas in my life, and I've been here for 35 years. It was the biggest surf I've ever seen. But fortunately, the tide had dropped off by about a metre from a 7.7 to a 6.7. And by the time it had done that, that was enough, again, to keep the Watering Hole dry.
Well, another Cornish business has been helping other businesses, not only across Cornwall, Devon and Somerset, but also places such as Surrey, after being flooded out. Richford's Fire and Flood is based in Redruth and has been helping the Brooklands Museum in Surrey after the Wey River overflowed. I've been speaking to Michael Cooper, who's in charge of the operation to dry out the museum.
We were contacted by the insurers of Brooklands Museum Boxing Day, actually, to tell us that unfortunately this site, which is obviously contains a lot of exhibits pertaining to our national heritage, particularly in terms of aviation and motorsport, had sadly been flooded by a local river, and of course was now in need of significant response to get the building both sanitary and also then dried out.
Tell us about the museum.
Well, the museum site itself is contained within what remains of the old Oval Brooklands race circuit, which was a site of some of the early land speed records held by Sir Malcolm Campbell. The site itself contains around 27 buildings of varying sizes, from a clubhouse that used to be used as a centre for motorsport up to some aircraft size hangars capable of storing some of the museum's aircraft collection. For example, one of the remaining Concorde aircraft is currently stored at Brooklands. The water came down, as you say, off the River Wey and one of its tributaries, and unfortunately flooded down through the site, which sort of gently slopes downhill towards the clubhouse, which obviously sadly took the brunt of the incident. This was of particular concern to Brooklands because on New Year's Day they were due to have a large car club event with up to 5,000 visitors and 1,000 cars. So as you can imagine, both the management of Brooklands and their insurer were very concerned about getting the site not only restored, but also was it possible to get it open quickly enough to be able to hold that event on New Year's Day.
So what sort of damage has there been because of this flooding?
Well, the water obviously carries with it, unfortunately, a lot of mud, silt, and in some cases bacteria. So what our teams have done is actually respond to site and carry out, firstly, extraction works. Some of the buildings actually had to be pumped out using some of our submersible pumps to actually drop the water level. And then, of course, there's a major cleaning and sanitization operation that goes on behind that to ensure that the building was safe to use. And then the third step really was to bring in dehumidification and air moving equipment to actually start to dry the buildings out and therefore be ready to accept members of the public in the new year.
And of course, Richfords advises all businesses to develop a flood action plan. It could save them from losing vital computers and information and help them open faster after flooding.
7 days with Business Cornwall.
Now let's have a look at what's happening over the next 7 days with Nick Herrier.
The controversial Coit Farm development in St Austell will be on the agenda of Cornwall Council Strategic Planning Committee on Thursday, January the 16th. You'll be able to watch a webcast of this on the Council's website starting at around 10 o'clock in the morning. It's relatively quiet on the network this evening as Cornwall returns from the Christmas break, but if you're in the Launceston area, then it may be worth getting along to the Launceston Business Networking Breakfast at the Business Space on the 16th. Again, for full details of this and other regular networking events, go to our website, businesscornwall.co.uk.
And we'll be back with more news from the business scene in Cornwall with 7 days in 7 days' time.
7 days with Business Cornwall.